mind. Just remain standing. I'm not going to use this morning unless it becomes necessary. Oh, I want to get a winch to get this thing up here. But I told some of them the other day in the office, I said, you know, I got so carried away the other night sitting in that thing, I felt like putting my feet against it, just pushing the pulpit plumb out over the communion table. And one of the men in there said, now, preacher, you know you couldn't do that. I said, what makes you think I couldn't? They said, well, you ain't got enough soap in you to do that. You're not. And I thought, what do you mean I ain't got enough soap? Boy, I could pick that thing up and right now throw it plumb through the ceiling if I wanted to. No, I couldn't do that. But it's good to be here this morning. Good to be saved by God's marvelous grace. Amen. And I got thinking on something this past week. Just a thought, a word, just a phrase that I believe it was Brother Steve just grazed across it in the Sunday school hour last Sunday. And I got thinking on that to some degree, and I was reading my Bible in a verse that I'm going to read to you, a few verses. A thought just came out of that at me, and it's what I want to preach on this morning. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. I mean that. I hope it's, I'm telling you, the outline that I got sure isn't much to brag about. But I hope the Lord will give us something out of it. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles and chapter number 15. 1 Chronicles and chapter number 15 in the Word of God. That's in the Old Testament right after. Did I say 2 Chronicles? 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Chapter number 15. That's right after 2 Kings. 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles. In the Word of God. And I want to begin reading in verse number 11 out of that chapter. And, of course, this is David the king writing. And the Bible says, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Azariah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of God. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to him in just a moment of prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful and so thrilled in my heart to be in God's house. No greater place could a man be than in the house of the Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be here today and granted us that great and glorious privilege. And now we plead for the presence of Christ, for the power of God. We ask you, Lord, to help our needy hearts today, to feed the hungry soul, and give water to the thirsty. I ask you today, Lord, to comfort the troubled, and to bless those that are struggling and laboring. I ask you, Lord, to help us to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to preach the cross. Help us to preach your love and your mercy. Help us to say something, Lord, that would turn a heart that is out in sin to thee. Then I do ask you, Lord, to help us preach and that we might see the people of God stirred in our hearts and revived and blessed. I pray for power and unction myself to preach. I'd ask the Spirit of God to fill me. Give me the grace and divine help that I need, the power and the liberty that I need. And Lord, help my mind to think clearly, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, there in the last part of verse number 13, the Bible said, for that we sought not after him, or sought not for we sought him not after the due order. We sought him not after the due order. And I want to preach for a little while this morning, if the Lord will help me, simply on seeking God in the right way. Seeking God in the right way. Now, I want to begin by sort of bringing us up to where we are here in the book of Chronicles. David has become king over all Israel. Not just the southern tribes of Judah, but he's now king over all of Israel. Saul, who was the people's choice for king, is now gone. And God has led David to the throne and made him king over his people. And, you know, the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. None of us could deny that. He wrote such a verse like Psalm 42 when he said, "As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." And he said, "I seek thee in a dry and a thirsty land," in Psalm 61, "where no water is." And I believe there was any man in the Bible that desired the presence of the Lord in his life, it would have been David. There's no question about that. Everything that he went about it looking and seeking for the presence of God in his own life. Now, according to the scriptures just prior to our text this morning, David had already made an effort to bring the Ark of the Covenant up from Kirjath-Jearim. I'll use that in that way. And you know the story how that one of the men, they brought it up on an ox cart with oxen. And a man by the name of Uzzah, that cart tilted, and that man reached out and put his hand on that cart, and God smote him, and he died. And so it put a fear in David's heart. And they stopped right there and took the Ark of God and put it in the home of Obed-Edom, a man by the name of Obed-Edom. And the Bible said that while that ark was there, that God blessed Obed-Edom. And you know, I want to say to you, just simply on that thought, that God will bless us in His presence. And I've been a stickler about that all my life. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore in His presence. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And if we ever needed the power and the presence of God, it's in the hour that we're living in. And I'm afraid so many might be like Samson was, that God was gone and he wist not that the Spirit had departed. But I'm telling you, we need the presence of God. And David realized that he needed the presence of God not only in his life, but in the life of his people. I want to say, hey, church, it's not only the preacher that needs the God's presence in his life. It's the people as well. The church, it's you, it's your family. It's a necessity. You must have the presence of Almighty God in your life. Why, when he walked with those disciples those 3.5 years and they walked in his presence, they saw great and glorious things that many eyes desired to see and to look into and never saw them. I can't imagine beholding with my eyes the actual miracles that the Lord did. Can you imagine Him giving strength to legs that were unable to walk, and yet they walked? Can you imagine Him opening the eyes of the blind, someone that had never seen, and yet with power He opened up those eyes that they might see? Can you imagine Him opening up the ears of those that were deaf that they might hear, and even raising those that were dead from the grave? I'm saying I can't comprehend that, but the disciples saw that in His day. Now, we may not see those with the naked eye, but I'm telling you there are miracles to behold and blessings to be had for you and I as God's child if we'll have His presence manifest in our own life and down at the house of God as well when we get there. Now, we know we got the Lord with us. He dwells in the heart of every believer. But I want to ask you something. Is His presence being manifest? Is His presence visible? I mean, when we leave here, can we truly say in our heart that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today? That's the question. And so David tried to bring that ark up, and he failed. He failed. And Uzzah died. And they left the ark at Obed-Edom. Now, I want to say this also, and I never realized this until the other day. But at this time, the ark of God was in Kirjath-Jearim. But the tabernacle of God that Moses built was in Gibeon, in the high place of Gibeon. But the ark was not there, and David had prepared a tent. Right now, I don't know why, don't ask me, but rather, instead of bringing up the tabernacle and setting it up and bringing the ark and placing it in that tabernacle, David built a tent for the Lord to dwell in and put that ark in. And David realized, I want you to listen now, that that ark represented the presence of God. It represented the presence of God. They called God the God that dwelleth between the cherubims. And those cherubim's wings come out over that ark. And it was there that the Shekinah glory of God would dwell and meet with His priest behind the veil in the ark. Now, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying today, if we want a little of the glory of God, a little of the presence of God, a little of the grace of God, a little of the love of God to be in our midst, ladies and gentlemen, then we're not going to have that sitting on our backsides. We're going to have to get up off our backsides and seek after the Lord like David did and desire the Lord like David did if we're ever going to have Him in our own life and in the house of God as well. Now, here's the thing of it. David realized that second time he went to bring up the ark that the problem was the first time they didn't seek God in the due order. There was a problem. They tried to put the ark on an ox cart and pull it with oxen. But that's not the way that Moses said for to do it. Moses said that the Levites were to do it and that they were to bear the ark of God on their shoulders with staves between those rings, and they bore that ark of God on their shoulders. And so the second time around, David said, hey, we're going to do this thing again, only this time we're going to do it the right way. And he called all the heads of the tribe of Levi, and he said, sanctify yourselves to bring up the ark of God. Well, what's it? Consecrate yourselves. Make yourselves holy. Get yourselves ready in your heart to bring up the ark of God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we don't need to expect the presence of Christ in our midst unless our hearts are sanctified before Him. I'm talking about, well, we must have a clean and a contrite spirit before God, or He'll never show up in our midst. He said, sanctify yourselves, and we're going to bring Him up in the true order. Oh, and when they did, they had a time. David got out there dancing before the ark, and they didn't go but 7 steps, I think, and they stopped and offered 1,000 rams or something and 1,000 sheep. I mean, they made a great offering out of that thing and continued to bring that ark on up into the city of Jerusalem, where it may represent the presence, and it did represent and was the presence of Almighty God. And that time they brought it up the right way. Now I want to, and God blessed them because of it, and let them rejoice because of it. And once they got it there, come on now, and listen now. Once they got the ark there, David with great joy gave every man and woman a flagon of wine and a good piece of meat and a good piece of bread and sent them all home. And the Bible said that there was joy in Israel that day. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We can have the joy of the Lord in our heart if we get the presence of God manifested in our own life and in the house of God. And we can have that joy of the Lord that God wants us to have. Brother, I'm telling you, God's people got the idea that we're to walk around long-faced and somber-faced all the time. No, God don't want that. He's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can have it more abundantly. It's walking with God in your life every day close beside you. Having His presence every day in your life. Now, they sought Him in due order. Now, somebody said, preacher, what is that due order? Well, I'm not going to say that I've got the exact due order, but I will say this, that what I'm going to preach this morning I won't be long with it. But you can find God in your life if you want to. May I say, first of all, that we're going to have to seek God. We're going to have to seek God or seek the Lord obediently. We're never going to have God in our life living in disobedience. That's an absolute fact. There's no way. God does not honor a disobedient heart. But He does honor those that are obedient to His will, His way, and His Word. Now, I'm telling you, it's like the preacher said the other night, there's not many of God's people today that are willing to submit themselves or surrender themselves to the will and the Word and the way of Almighty God in their life. But we'll never have Him until we do that. David knew that. Now, in Psalm 27, I want to turn there and read a verse, and then I want to go to another verse. Really, it's my verse that I want to use there. But in Psalm 27:4, here's what David said. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." I see a prayer there, a desire. I see a place there, the house of the Lord. And I see a purpose there, that he may inquire of the Lord in His temple. Now, hey, David said one thing. There's only one thing that I've asked God for. You know, I think sometimes we want to ask God for too many things. And I'm going to tell you why. Come on in the house now. We'll pray and ask God for this and ask God for that and ask God for this and ask God for that. And we never pray and ask God for Him. But I learned a long time ago, if we'll get Him, we got Him lock, stock, and barrel and everything that comes along with it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We got everything that comes along with God. If you've got Him, you've got everything that comes along with Him. Amen. In other words, you've not only got the blesser, you've got the blessings that come right along with it. And David here said, that's my one desire. And get this. This puts us to shame. We come to church on Sunday and we think we've stayed a long time. We've stayed 2 hours. One thing, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may seek after that. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Boy, hey, wonder what happened there. We'd say, well, we're just going to camp out here a while. We're going to come to the house of God and camp out a while. You know why? David realized that the house of God was where God dwelt. That's where the Lord was at. And it was His desire to be with in the presence of Almighty God. I wonder if we've got that desire today ourselves, to really live and dwell in the presence of Almighty God in our life. Or are we afraid God might see something in us that we don't want Him to find out? Amen. Are you listening? Amen. Now, notice what he said, though. I'm talking about being obedient. Seek Him obediently. Look at verse number 8. David said, when thou saidest, talking about the Lord, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. My heart said, heart obedience. Not a little intellectual obedience, but heart obedience. And to obey the Lord is to obey Him from the heart. It's not an intellectual thing that we've got up here, but it's a heartfelt thing. Now, hey, I wonder how many of them have really got a real old time. Come on now. Oh, real old time, old fashioned, heartfelt salvation. That we know without a shadow of a doubt that we've been to Calvary. That we know that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That we know that we've been forgiven of all of our sin. To know that we've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. To know that we've been birthed into the family of God. To know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about to know that we know that we know that we're saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. And that we love Him from the heart. That it's just not some kind of a religion that we have, but it's a love for Almighty God that has possessed us, that's caused us to reach out to Him and possess that we might possess Him also. Amen. That's right. So he said he wanted to have, we got to have heart obedience. Now, I won't say secondly, we've got to have honest obedience. Not just hard obedience, but honest obedience. In other words, there ain't no need trying to lie to God. No need trying to put up a front. No need trying to put on a little veneer. Because God can look right through it. And He looks on the heart and He tries the heart. And He knows what's in man. And I'm going to tell you, if we're, and I'm going to get to something in just a minute on this. I don't want to say too much on it right here. But that honest heart, friend, it has got to be empty of everything else. Come on in the house now. An honest seeking God with an honest heart, you can't hold back anything on Him. You cannot try to hide something from Him. Come on now. In other words, you're going to have to pour out your heart before God and primarily get yourself out that God may have free rule and reign and control of your heart. Oh, I know that we're saved by the grace of God. Now, I know that we're going to heaven. But I'm telling you right now, friend, I see a whole lot of Baptists today that I'm confident that God is not supreme in their life. He needs to be supreme in our life. And then we need to have heart obedience. And we need to have, now I'm hurrying because there's a long way to go. And we need to have honest obedience. And we need to have a humble obedience. I told somebody the other day about a certain fellow. You it's not a preacher. You'd know him if you saw him. Everybody in here would know him if I called his name. But the only thing I can't tolerate about the man is the way he struts. I mean, this guy just really struts his stuff. And he's got the idea that he really believes in his heart that he's somebody. And I don't think he claims to be a Christian. I don't know what he is. But I'm talking about our presidents. Amen right there. He really struts her on out there. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? But I'm telling you what really bothers me is Baptists that are that way. That they really strut their stuff before God, and their heart is so swelled up with pride, there's no need of them seeking God. I'm going to tell you, David had to empty himself of all pride, amen, in his heart, before God would ever allow him to bring out that ark and let it dwell there in the presence of David in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to find God with pride in your heart. It's got to go. Pride is the biggest enemy of grace that I know. Pride is the biggest enemy. One of the biggest enemies. Well, it's the biggest enemy you can have in your heart. I don't believe Satan can dwell in the heart of a child of God, by the way. But I'm going to tell you what can is pride. And boy, we can get so swelled up with pride, there's no need of looking for Christ. He ain't coming around it. A humble and a contrite spirit. Thou will not despise what the Bible says. And He won't. Now, I'm not talking about sweet, humble pie either. I'm talking about honest meekness and humility. See, we've got the idea today that if you're meek and humble, you're a baby. Well, our Lord was meek and humble. I certainly don't believe He was a big baby. He wasn't no wimp. If there ever was a man, He was a man. He was 100% man, ladies and gentlemen. If that'll soak in on you, woo! We talking about Him being a man, we just think He's a man. He was 100% man. Oh, man. Come on in the house now. Amen. He wasn't no little wimp. Bless God, He was a man all the way. Hallelujah to God. Amen. He had enough manliness in Him that He looked right in the devil's face and spit in His eye. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Looked at her and said, go tell that old fox that I do wonders today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I'll be glorified, is what he said. Amen. I'm going to tell you on the third day. Woo! Amen. I believe that was in the first year of his reign. I believe that was the first year of his reign. And he reigned 1 year and the second year and the third year. Guess what? Woo! Out of the grave, he arose. And he did. Come out with glory and was glorified. And so that humble obedience. Then I want to say secondly, We're going to have to seek the Lord, and you know this, with all your heart. Amen. With all your heart. Amen. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 32, the Bible said, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." You'll find him when you seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Just like that. Now, I'm not copying this from the preacher. I already had this down. All. And I wrote for that little word all. We're going to have to seek him faithfully. Now, I might use the word consistently there. When I say faithfully, you just can't hop, skip, and jump on seeking God. You've got to be faithful and dedicated at it. In other words, it takes prayer, and it takes that Bible, and it takes worship every single day of your life to have the real presence of God. Somebody said, "I've got all the presence that I want." Maybe you have, I don't. Amen. I want to be like Paul said, and let his power rest upon me. There's a difference in having his power in you and his power resting upon you. Boy, I'm going to tell you, and Paul said, you know how you get that through trials and tribulations? I'm going to tell you, hard times, hard knocks. But if you'll stay with God through it all, hallelujah to God, he'll not only rest in you, he'll rest upon you, hallelujah to God. That power of God represents the presence of God resting upon a person. Amen. That's right. Now, listen, you've got to be faithful. He said, all. Seek it with all your heart. Not half of it. You know, I believe God's looking for wholehearted Christians. Not half-hearted Christianity. So-so. Brill cream Christians. A little dab will do you. Just use a little more only if you dare. Don't use too much now. I don't want too much religion. I don't want church too much. I know that's what some of you young people think. Have to be there all the time. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't get born again, and your soul's in eternal hell, you'll wish to God that you had done something that day you was at the house of God, instead of sat there and look at the preacher out of glassed eyes and not going in one ear and out the other. And you would to God that it had opened up your heart of understanding that you might receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. I will say to you young people, there ain't anything any more greater and glorious than having the Lord in your life and living for Him from your youth up. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that faithful heart. And then, gotta seek Him fully. He said, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him when thou seek him with all thy heart." Amen. You know, and get this now, you're not going to understand this, I know. But that word, all, that word, all thy heart, means to unheart. Now that's odd, isn't it? Now I've already touched on it. But I'm talking about seeking him fully. All thy heart means to unheart. That means anything in your heart contrary to him has got to go. I don't care what it is, it's got to go. I don't care how small it is, it's got to go. Now, I don't care how much you guys fish. That don't bother me. But I'm going to tell you something. That fellow up there in the preacher church talked to me the other day. Said, all my life I have fished and kept my children out of the house of God. And he said, "Tonight I'm putting that fishing reel on the altar. It's done. I'm done with it." It wasn't 2 weeks till his boy flew in that church and hit that altar and got saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, friend. Somebody said, "Oh, some small thing like that wouldn't stand between a soul getting saved, Christ's soul." Oh, yes. If God makes it an issue, neighbor, it is an issue with you. Amen. I don't care how small it might seem. How insignificant it might be. That's right. And so with all thy heart means to unheart. Get all that stuff out of your heart. All that old animosity. All that old jealousy. All that old hatred. That old lazy spirit. Let Christ fill your heart with love. You can laugh at me if you want to. But I'm telling you, that ranks high on the totem pole, friend. That little four-letter word called love. Somebody said, what makes it so? I can sum it up in this. God is love. Amen. And if He defines Himself as love, are you listening to what I'm saying? Then it's bound to mean something to Him. And He said, you've got to unheart yourself of all that and seek God faithfully and seek God fully with all your heart. And listen, hey, you come a little closer. You can't seek God with all of your heart if it's crammed packed full of something else. The only way you can seek Him with all your heart is if that heart is empty. Come on in here. Amen. That's right, ain't it? Then I want to say you got to seek Him with all your, seek Him with your life. That Bible says, seek Him with thy heart and thy soul. Now, when the Lord created Adam, what did He do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he what? Become a living soul. And I didn't get this out of no book. This is mine. But I just simply put down there with that soul, it's a living soul, so it must mean life. And that is, we got to put our life into it. Church, serving God is not Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Serving God is a 24/7. Giving Him all of our life. As Paul put it, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Giving all of our life, not holding back a thing, not letting one iota, not let one thing stand between us and God. That's one thing I've studied David's life over and over again, and I'm telling you, I've learned that there was not one thing that ever stood between David and God except his sin against Uriah the Hittite when he took his wife and she conceived a child by him. That's the only thing that he ever did that God wasn't pleased with. That's the only thing that ever got between him and God. There was never anything else between him. Him and God. Now, are you staying right with me? Because I've got just a little ways yet to go here. And I'll get right to it. Amen. I seek the Lord obediently. Seek the Lord with a whole heart. And then I want to say you're to seek the Lord while you're young. Look in 2 Chronicles with me. Look at 2 Chronicles in chapter number 34. In verse number 1, the Bible said Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 30 years. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves. If I understand 8 and 8 right, started reigning when he was 8. He had reigned for 8 years. And at the age of ripe old age of 16, Josiah began to seek after God as a king. I won't say you young people, you don't have to be an old man to seek after God. David was just a little ruddy-faced boy when he began to seek after God. Daniel was just a young man when he began to seek after God. You don't have to be old and wrinkled and gray-headed like Brother Hall is to seek after God in your life. God's looking for young people that will take a stand for Him today. I'm telling you, young people, we're living in a generation in America that if you don't take a stand for Him while you're young, you'll fall for Him before you ever get old. Fall from Him, brother, before you ever get old. Yes, sir, you better believe it. The devil will get you a grip on you and he won't turn loose of you. At the ripe old age of 16, this young boy began to seek after God. And look here. And here's one way that he did that. And I want you young people, I'm getting to the young people now. I'll get down here where some of them's at. He had an example to look to. The Bible said that he began to seek after the God of his father, David. Now, David wasn't his fleshly father. But I'm going to tell you something, boy. When they talk about spiritual kings in Israel, they always go back to David. Now, I'm telling you, David set an example. Oh, for those kings coming up behind him to live by. I'm afraid he's a pretty good man, a man after God's own heart. Wrote all those Psalms. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Lived that life before God. Fought the battles of the Lord. Even wanted to build a tabernacle for God, but God wouldn't let him because he had bloody hands. He had fought the battles of the Lord. I'm going to say something, young people. There's nothing wrong with you taking a stand for God right now. You don't have to get on the side of that bunch of drunks out there. You don't have to get on the side of that bunch of whoremongers out there. You don't have to get on the side. I to say something right now, but I can't do it. I'm telling you, horriblest, worst, ungodliest, filthiest, nastiest mess I've ever read of, heard of in my entire life the other day. I'm telling you, are you listening? Well, I'll just put it like this. There's parents out there that are proud that they've got teenage boys and girls that are going to bed with one another. And they're proud of it. And I know you young boys, you ain't pulling no wool over my eyes at all. I was your age at one time, friend. Now I'm going to tell you what I'd do if I was you girls. Some boy walked up and put his arm around me. I'd tie it on a high heel. I'd take it off and bust his stinking brains out with it. Amen. That's right. Good that a man don't touch a woman. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong. Josiah took a stand. And listen to this. When he was 16 years old, he began to seek the Lord. And you know the first thing they did? He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, he began to clean out the sin. He got the sin out of his own life. Oh, and then he began to get the sin out of his people's life. Woo! Hallelujah to God, young people. Can you imagine what overflow it might have if just the right young person in this church got thoroughly right with God and was set on fire in their soul for the Lord Jesus Christ? It might catch a fire like a rapid flame that the devil couldn't put out. Get purged and clean yourself, then let her bleed over into somebody around you. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you what Israel did. I don't want to get ahead of my message for next Sunday morning, or maybe this Wednesday night if I preach, but I'm going to tell you what Israel did. They laid down in Egypt for years and years, and when they come out of Egypt, you know what they brought out with them? In their heart? All those idols that they had down there. And every time you turn a page, what they're wanting to do is go back in there. Wonder why. I wonder why when they got into the promised land and possessed it, then they turned right around and fell into the sin of the people that lived there. Amen. I'm going to give you a good illustration of exactly what happened to Israel. The same thing that happened to Lot. He went on down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and their sin vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Amen. You can't live around that mess and have me to be in that mess and not find it in your heart somewhere. It'll be there. And by the way, you can't watch it on television, DVDs, and the YouTube and the internet either. It'll get a hold of you sometime or another. I'm telling you, it'll skin you alive and possess you like you have never been possessed before. You better take a stand while you're young. Josiah did. And he had a good example in David, and he purged his own sin and began to purge the sin of the other people. Lived a clean life. Then I want to say, thirdly, he obeyed the word of God. Look in chapter 34 and verse 18. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. Wonder what that could possibly have been. And Shaphan read it before the king. It came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. You know why he rent his clothes? He heard the words of the law, and that law condemned him. He knew that his fathers had sinned against God, and somewhere along the line, there had to be a halt to it. Come on in the house. Anybody in here listening to me? I'm telling you, hey, our fathers have sinned and we have sinned, and somewhere in America, it's got to come to a halt, or America is soon to go down the drain, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the way down the drain. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We're on the way to the gutter.
Amen. Right.
You know what Brother Cater told me between Sunday school and church? That he saw. Didn't open it up and look at it. Just saw this thing on a news thing. That a preacher was going to preach on couples having sex before marriage. And you know how he planned on doing it? He was going to start out by putting a poster out in the front parking lot of a naked man and woman. And then he was going to come into the church and show a movie of nakedness. People, men and women together, naked in the congregation of the house of God. I'm telling you, if that's dipping to the very lowest of ends of ever I've heard in my life. Somebody said, preacher, you ought to preach like that. Oh, yes, somebody needs to preach like that. God have mercy. That's worse than Antiochus Epiphanes over the hog on the altar.
Amen.
Son, somewhere along the line, somebody has got to take a stand and realize that our fathers have sinned and we have sinned and we don't have God with us anymore because of our sin, and we're not going to have Him until we empty our heart of self and everything else and begin to look for Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Look for God in your life. Look for God in preaching. Look for God in praying. Look for God in praising. Look for God in everything in your life. You'll find Him. He's there. He's there. Somebody said, well, how can you find Him in praising? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what the Bible said. He inherited heaven as the praise of His people. Now, is anybody listening? Obeying. Now, I'm just about done. Then we need to look for the Lord, seek the Lord when we're in trouble. I want you to look in 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles chapter number 15. And I'm going there, but I want to mention chapter number 16. There's a king there by the name of Asa. And Asa goes out to do battle with Baasha, king of Israel. And he goes out to battle them. No, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. He goes out to do battle. I'll find it here in a minute. I want to start out in verse number 15, chapter number 15. That's right, that's where I want to start. I'll say in chapter number 15, verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him in their trouble, the Bible said that he was found of them. Now, I said all that to say this. That Asa went out to battle the Ethiopians. They had 1 million people against his 500 and some odd thousand. And the Bible said there in chapter number 14 and verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O God, our God, for the rest, for we rest on Thee. In Thy name we go against the multitude. O Lord, Thou art God. Let not man prevail against us. You know what? O Asa went out and began in battle and began in his trouble and began to pray and seek the face of God. You know what? And God showed up and put 1 million Ethiopians on the run, ladies and gentlemen. Because there was a man that sought the Lord. In a time of trouble, he sought the Lord. And then, hey, here comes that prophet along and says, now I'm going to tell you something, Asa and Judah. Want everybody to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Want everybody to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you, said. God will be with you as long as you're with Him. But if you forsake God, God's going to forsake you. But He said, I'll tell you what. He said, in trouble, if you'll turn to the Lord, He said that the Lord will deliver you every time. Now get a load of this. And I'm not even going to take time to read it all. But in the next verses, in chapter number 15 and the rest of those, in the rest of those verses, in chapter 16, rather. Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. And you know what Asa did? He didn't seek God. He got all the gold and all the silver together and sent it to Ben-Hadad down at Syria and said, hey, said, you're my brother. Come up and help me against Baasha, king of Israel. Baasha, hey, he come up against him. He come up against him. And they won the battle. They won the battle all right. But it was because they had Syria helping them. And here comes a prophet by the name of Hanani. I don't know much about him. But here comes a prophet named Hanani. And he said, hey, he said, King Asa, king of Judah, said, I want you to listen very carefully. He said, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. We're not the Ethiopians. And he goes on and said, you defeated them. He delivered them out of your hand. In other words, he said, he delivered the Ethiopians when you called on him. Why in heaven's name are you now trusting in Syria to deliver you from the hand of Baasha? I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, so many times in our life, God delivers us in the right way. We look to God, we trust God, we beg God, plead with God, and God delivers us. Oh, but we get so proud about it that the next time, rather than to seek God, you know, we want to try to find Him in some other way. Surely we can have the victory by bringing in more people. Sure, more people won't bring the victory. Surely we can win the battle if we got a church full. Church full won't bring the victory. I'm going to tell you what will bring the victory. The presence of Christ. The presence of Jesus. That's what will bring the victory. Not a barn full of people. And I like to have the barn full of people. But he called on the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, to come up and help him. No, Hanani said, because you have done that. He said, there's no need of you seeking God anymore. And you know something? That man turned on that prophet and said, put him in prison.
Right.
May he put the prophet in prison. Had him in prison. Because they told him the truth. He had him put in prison. And get this. It wasn't long after that. Let me just read these verses. I think they're that important. I want to read them. The Bible said there in chapter 16, verse number 11, and behold the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they were written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in his 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And you know what happened? He died! A man that started out seeking God and wound up forgetting all about what God had done for him. I wrote this down in my Bible. I said, don't let early success depart in latter years.
Amen.
Buddy, we better not. Brother Joel, you remember when you first got saved? Remember them battles that you fought and them battles that you won? I can remember them. I remember how I won them. Getting on my knees and my face somewhere and begging and pleading with God and letting God deliver.
Yes,
But you know, the older I get, and I'm just confessing, the older I get, the more I'm relying on God will just do it. God will just do it! After all, we're His children, but God don't have to do it! That prophet told Asa, said, as long as you seek God, He'll be with you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And He did. And we better not let success in our early life depart from us in our latter years. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't find no newfangled way in the Bible of doing it. Brother Steve told me in the bathroom a while ago, he said, grabbed me by the arm, said, "Preacher, try to preach Jesus to me today." I said, "That old thing, sir, we would see Jesus." And I wanted to. I've tried my best, but what's come out, it's come out. But I'm going to tell you what, it is seeing Jesus. That's exactly why David said, "We got to bring Him up. We got to see Him." That's exactly why Asa sought Him. "We got to see Him." That's exactly why Moses sought Him. "We got to see Him." If you see me and forget me, you've not missed a thing. But if you ever see Jesus and forget Him, you've missed it all. Oh, yes, sirs, we would see Jesus. You better believe it. Seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading. That's what He did, young people. He died on the cross pleading for your soul. He died on Calvary shedding His blood for the redemption of our soul. And He did it out of love. We didn't seek Him, but He sought us. Oh, but after He found us, praise God, and we looked into His lovely face and saw His warmth and compassion and love and grace that He has for us, it is our obligation and our responsibility to set our face to seek the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, that haply we might find Him, as Paul said. For He's not very far from every one of us. That's right. He's right here. I'm closing with this. We ought to seek Him because we love Him. That little old bride in the Song of Solomon said, "By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. In the broad ways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him. I would not let Him go. I had brought Him until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me." That little bride got up off her bed in the middle of the night and went out seeking Him whom she loved. And she would not give up the search until she found Him. I want to show you something. If you seek for him and find Him, you better mark this down now. It's going to cost you something. Amen. Salvation's free, but if you ever find Him, it's going to cost you something. Amen. She got out of her bed in the night. That tells me it cost her a little something. She was willing to lose sleep to find God in her life. How many of us in here today are willing to lose a couple hours of sleep in the morning or at night to find God in our life? Amen. Amen. To get in that book and get on our knees and find God in our life. I'm telling you, better seek Him while He may be found. For there may come an hour when He'll withdraw Himself and He'll not be found anymore. Somebody said, "I don't believe that." You better read your Bible. So it cost her something. Cost her a little bit of effort. She had to get up out of that bed at night. It cost her a little bit of time. She had to go into the city. That takes some time out of her life to find him. And then I want to say it cost her a little bit of persistence. She looked until she found him. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to find God in your life lollygagging around. You're going to have to mean business. You're going to have to determine in your heart, like David did, one desire of God, and that is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. When he said, "Seek my face," my heart said, "Lord, thy face I'll seek." Better seek him while he may be found. Because the hour is coming. Like it was in the days of little Samuel. The light was just about to go out in the temple. Now I'm telling you folks, we're living in a dark hour. And God can use whomsoever He will. He'll not let that light go out. But I would to God He'd use us. Before that light goes out, to light her again. Revive us again, O Lord. That thy people may rejoice in Thee. Then let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify God in us. Amen. Young people, come today. Don't delay. Amen. Get a hold of God. Mommies and daddies, you better get a hold and find Him in your life for your children. I wonder how many of our children today are on the brink of the abyss and we don't even know it. Let's stand together.